You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We'll take a glass together and we will lift it to the good life.
And as we're lifting it, we will most sincerely say,
we'll take a glass together.
You're listening to Equity One,
a podcast where two friends chat about life,
theater,
and everything in between. I'm Elliot Maddox.
And I'm Caleb Dickey.
Join us for your Equity One.
Hi, Caleb.
Hey, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really well.
Oh, yeah? Why are you doing really
well?
Do
you want to know why?
Yeah, tell me all about it.
Before we get to our show, we have a great show for you this week with the one and only Al Blackstone.
Ooh, I love him.
Is our guest. It's going to be so much fun.
He's very busy. I'm glad we snagged him
for an interview, and we are so excited. It's a great episode this week. Mm-hmm. But we have an announcement to make first.
It's really exciting.
It's very exciting. Equity One will be doing our first ever live show. That's right. You heard it. Live.
Live and live in color. It's us.
Caleb, it's going to be a mess.
Oh, I'm
positive.
That's
for sure. But it's going to be fun, and you don't want to miss whatever is going to happen.
So, like, live meaning, like, studio audience.
Studio audience. You can come and watch Caleb and I do an episode of Equity One. Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Well, like, tell me some more details.
We're going
to
give you all the details. Our episode is going to be, mark your calendars, get out your planner.
Flipping.
Write it down. Mm-hmm. Thursday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. Thursday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. is going to be our live show. It's going to be that Thursday night at the brand new Jen Waldman Studios. Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be our special guest.
We will be interviewing the Jen Waldman. We are so excited that not only did she agree to be on the podcast, but she's letting us do it at her new home. Uh-huh. We are so excited. And guess what? It's free.
Yeah.
It's free. We only ask that you make a donation. All proceeds are going to go to Broadway Cares. It's that mm-hmm. time of year. So
I don't know if we'll have a red bucket, but we will.
We will be taking.
Maybe we could have a red bucket.
We will be taking donations at the door. Mm-hmm. But it is there is only a specific number of chairs available to mm-hmm. us. So we will be having a site. The links to everything will be not only in this podcast description, but also on our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on all our social medias. You can find the link to reserve yourself a seat, and you can just make a donation at the door, but it's free.
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 Budget. That's like, and the information that you're going to get from Jen, who, if you don't know Jen Waldman, look her up. She's amazing. She's brilliant.
Jen is the best. And we are so excited to have her and that she's letting us do our thing in her space. It's mm-hmm. going to be amazing. And we get to share it with all you guys.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing all your favorite segments live. Merch Madness, live. Audition Horror Stories, live.
Yeah. Wow.
Movie Moment, live.
It's all going to be there.
It's all going to be live right in front of your face.
For free.
For free.
No edits. No edits.
So don't miss it. Don't miss it. And of course, if you can't make it to the live show, we will be posting the audio of the live show to your podcast app. So don't you worry about that. But we are so excited. Mm-hmm. So once you're finished listening to our episode this week, go to our social media. You can find all the information you need there. And we cannot wait to see you at our live show on Thursday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. All the information you'll need will be there after this episode. Good. So please enjoy the one, the only,
Al Blackstone.
Gentlemen, cheers.
Cheers.
welcome to the program.
Thank you, L'chaim.
I don't know the last time I've had a Heineken.
I actually love Heineken because I fell in love with it because I went to a music festival a couple of years ago with my best friend in Ireland, and all they sold was Heineken, and so now I have a sip of it, and it transports me back to another.
I love
another
that Heineken when, like, place. When like a food or drink like can take you somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think goat cheese takes me back to my dance convention days.
Mm-hmm. Goat cheese?
Goat cheese, because my friend Lily Makowski, her mom made us goat cheese before we went to some event.
Can you be more specific about, like, does she just give goat cheese on a plate?
Or no, it was like, it was like a spread. It was like hot goat cheese, and we got this cute little dish. And
wow, that's so nice.
You know, hey,
this is a question. What did you dip with the goat cheese? Because I think that's a really interesting thing. What people use to dip hot dips?
A little.
Like a pita?
It's a pita, but a thick pita. Like, you know, that dense bread that's kind of like, it's oval, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Loaf.
To sustain you.
Yeah.
To sustain mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, because those dance competition days.
Oh, they are intense. I remember. Mm-hmm. Did you both do that?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you met.
We met at International Dance Challenge.
Oh my God, IDC.
In the dressing room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm. Yep.
Were you, like, very competitive? Because I remember, like, there were always, like, only three or four boys in the dressing room. If we had a dressing room, usually it was mm-hmm. the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was always, like, not a friendly feel in there because you were, like, not used to. I wasn't used to being around other boys. So it was like,
No, neither was I, but I wasn't, like, we hit it off.
Yeah.
We were cordial.
Wow.
You know Ben Lanham?
Uh-huh.
Like, it was, we're all, like, Ohio, Kentucky Got boys. So
Ben and
all...
I were more competitive.
Got it.
Because I saw Ben more often on the circuit.
Mm-hmm. They would tap together and I would be like,
yeah.
Wow, you guys are so good.
I like that. Yeah. That's good. That's a good story.
Uh-huh.
Al, thanks for coming on our program. No. We are so glad to finally all be in the same room together.
Yeah, it's a bit of a
challenge. You're a hot ticket.
You are a busy, busy boy, Mr. Blackstone.
Yes, I'm very fortunate to have been busy lately. But now I have a week of sort of normalcy, which is really, I'm really excited.
That's really nice.
And go ahead.
What are you doing with it?
Well, I'm teaching my classes, which I'm excited to get back to because it's my favorite thing to do in the world. So I'll teach today and tomorrow and Thursday. And then this weekend is my birthday. I'm not going to say that on the podcast, but it's over 30 and it's under 40.
Great.
And I'm actually throwing a party. So this is a big deal that I want to talk about. So I started with my friend Heather Lang and the first thing called Soul Therapy, which was basically... Heather lived next door to me, and some of you may know Heather Lang. She's been in a few Broadway shows, and she's done a lot of concert work, and she's kind of a fixture in the New York dance community. And she happened to be, very luckily, my next-door neighbor when I went to NYU when I was 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she sort of introduced me to, like, house music and improv and all these sorts of things, and club culture in New York, which has mm-hmm. been something that I've always loved. And so her and I decided to start this fundraiser party to benefit the ACLU. I think our first one was like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I remember when it first happened.
And her husband is a fantastic house DJ, and his two friends are also amazing DJs. So we were able to get a space donated. So we started this thing called Soul Therapy. And we do it every month now, and every single one is for a different cause. So this one happened to fall on my birthday, and we are raising money for Puerto Rico and Hurricane Relief and for the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we're super psyched. And everyone should be there. I hope to see you there. It's at a place called The Black Flamingo. No, Black Flamingo.
No,
not the,
because there's a place called The Black Flamingo in Red Hook, which is a very different bar. Then then there's Black Flamingo in Williamsburg.
Okay.
And it's on Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on Sunday. The date on Sunday will be
October 29th.
At what time?
6 p.m. to midnight.
To midnight.
And it's just a dance party.
Yeah, you pay whatever you want. You can pay $1, you can pay $20.
Oh my God, a night on the town for $1 to $20?
I mean, of course.
And it goes to charity?
Of course, it all goes to charity.
Of course, you have to buy beverages?
I mean, yeah, you don't have to, but they have really good margaritas. It's like a Mexican restaurant upstairs, and the club is downstairs. Yeah, so it's really fun. It's a good vibe. If you've never been, you've been.
I don't think I have.
Oh my God, gentlemen.
Well, because I usually have a show or something, so like mm-hmm. I haven't been able to go.
It's worth coming. And you usually go to like 1, usually. So if you have a show and you're out at 11, you should still make an appearance. And everyone always goes out afterwards.
So fun. Okay.
It's a full night.
Talk about what made you want to start that? I mean, obviously you're like love of the culture, but that's something different. You know what I mean? What made you want to start something like that?
Yeah, I think Heather and I had sort of we'd always talked about it, but I think even both of us were passionate about it, even for different reasons. I think I, first of all, was teaching class and was realizing that people are really not, don't have a space to come together. I think dancers don't really have a space to come together that's not in a dance class or in an audition.
Totally, yeah.
Where they can just hang out and it doesn't feel like an industry event.
Yeah.
And where also you can practice enjoying yourself to music, which I actually think is a really important thing. Because for me, I obviously am choreographing every day. So every day I have to like wake up and make up dance steps and come up and make decisions. And dance has become really a job in a big way. Mm-hmm. So going out dancing has become a way for me to remember why I like to do it. And sort of, I like to say it's sort of like being 7 or 8 years old again and sort of just like taking all the rules away from it.
Yeah, totally. It's organic.
It is. And it makes me feel really good and it makes me feel good to do it with friends. And I love the music. So it just felt like for me, I was excited to have create a space and try to get people from the theater community to participate in it. And my favorite part is that people always make friends or they always make out with someone new.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. That's a weekend. Yeah. You know, that's what you want to do at a party.
A dollar and a makeout?
Hey. Yeah. And a taco.
Oh.
And a taco.
Okay. Okay. So see, that's a game changer. Like if you can go upstairs and get food.
That's really
good
too.
How late does the food go?
No, it goes till midnight, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I can't really think of a reason you wouldn't go unless like you came down with the chicken pox. I could understand that.
Someone was telling me they got, what's the adult chicken
pox? A sty?
No,
like
adult
measles? Chicken.
No.
Shingles?
Shingles in their eye.
Oh God, that's a bad day.
Yeah.
Shingles in their eye.
So I wouldn't want to go to a club dancing if I had shingles in my eye.
Please don't.
No. Yeah, please.
But maybe we'll do like a live stream or something. Yeah. I'll just FaceTime
like,
you.
But like
with a patch.
Oh my God, that is too funny.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your classes because that's where kind of like
people get to.
We were. That's where we kind of met you and got to know you and. And I think it was interesting how you talked about dancers not really having a place to gather that's not like class and doesn't feel like an industry pressure on it. And I think one of the reasons that a lot of people are drawn to your class, myself included, is that it has that non-industry pressure feeling, you know? It doesn't feel like you're auditioning. It feels like it's fun and you're with people and you're like doing what you love to do. So
thank you.
What made you make your class like that? And why do you think people are drawn to it? And what draws you to teaching? That's like 7 questions.
Boom, boom, boom. Let's hear it.
I think, I mean, it took me a while to figure out what my class was. And also, it's changed for me what it is now. You know, I think when you first start teaching in New York, and I was like 22 or 23, I wanted to just sort of like show people who I was and what I could do. And it was really wasn't about what I could give to people. But then I realized that people so desperately need a space to feel safe and to just like remember what it's like to love dancing. And and I was lucky. I had teachers that were about that. You know, my parents were my teachers, and my mom, I think, probably loves dance more than anyone else I've ever met in my life and is really amazing at teaching other people how to love it. So I think that eventually over time, I sort of realized that I learned that from her and I wanted to give it. And as I started to give it in class in small ways, you realize it was just really making people open up in a way that I think they were responding to. So, you know, it feeds itself. It's like, I feel that. And then I want to, then I was like, oh shit, I can facilitate an environment where people can feel that way. So, and I love doing that. It makes me very happy. And I think it's also turned into, for me, a community building space. Like, it does really feel like people come to class and it's like we get to be together and we get to listen to this music and we get to just make mistakes, and sometimes we're fierce and sometimes we're not, but that's really not the point. That's not certainly why I'm teaching class. Like, I just love facilitating a space where people can enjoy and feel good. The other person I think that taught me how to do that was Doug Caldwell, who was a big lyrical teacher in LA and a convention teacher on Tremaine. And when I was a kid, we would take his class and everyone would say like it felt like you were going to church. And I think that I was really inspired by the way he was able to like turn a room into something that felt really positive and safe. And so I tried really hard to do that. And luckily, I think people have responded to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I love about your class is during the warm-up, you make us all like run around and stop and actually like meet someone new. And I always like, you know that time when you're like, I really don't want to meet someone. Like, I honestly like try and like meet someone new and like...
Yeah.
hear them out, yeah, like, where sometimes, they're from and stuff like.
Sometimes that can be cringy. Like,
yeah, totally.
Like, you're like, don't turn around, run across the room, like, say, but it doesn't feel like that. Some days you don't really, you know, some days you can brush it off, but some days it's like, some days it is nice to, like, say, like, look at someone and say hi when you're, like, dodging people on the subway and, like, running to class, like, with your headphones in.
And realize that, like, and just look at someone, like, realize that there's a bunch of other people in that room that are sort of, like, they're all
going through a similar thing.
Yeah. Well. And sort of, like, let's just, like, ignore the mirror for a second and realize that we're just, like, a bunch of people in this room. And it's, like, kind of weird what we're doing here in the first place.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that's been helpful is that there are the people that have responded to it have become truly, I think, leaders in the class. And I think that, like, at that moment, there's so many people that are just, like, so used to it and so brave that you're just, you can feel everyone be like, how are you? Like, and then you're like, oh, okay. You know, and you sort of go along on the ride. And I think if people didn't have the courage to be that brave in the space, I think other people wouldn't then get the courage. You know,
it sort of
feeds itself. And then by the time you get to the combo, you're like, feel like a person and you've met someone and
you're cheering them on. It's just like,
yeah, it's a party. Yeah.
It's like a party. Yeah. I'm sure there are a lot of people that probably like think it's crazy, but it's the way I would like class to be. And I'm sure it will evolve over time into something else. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, exactly. Always changing.
Wait, tell us about American Dance Spectacular.
American Dance Spectacular. We premiered it on Saturday at Pace University at the Schimmel Center. And it's going to have one more performance on this Saturday, the 28th, at the Kingsborough Community College in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn.
Okay.
It's a little far. Mm-hmm. But the show is essentially a guy named Dan Levine and is a director and creator. And we created a show called Born to Dance for Princess Cruise Lines.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which was a super positive experience for me, and we had a great time working on it. And our music director is Brian Perry from Wicked. He's the music director of Wicked, who's just a super genius music director and arranger. And we just basically liked working together and wanted to do another show. So we had an opportunity to hit these three theaters. We did Schimmel Center. We performed on Sunday at Ridgefield in Ridgefield, Connecticut, at the Ridgefield Playhouse, and then this Saturday at Kingsborough. And the show is basically the evolution of the dance in America from the waltz through today. So it's literally like, I mean, it goes waltz, Lindy Hop, swing, turkey trot. I mean, it just sort of goes.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it was very challenging.
what was the research like? Because were you well versed in all?
No. Although luckily, it's like so funny. Like luckily, when I was about 13, my parents and I and my sister performed the Hustle for my parents' dance studio's recital.
Amazing.
And we like had hustle lessons, and me and my sister hustled together, and my parents hustled together, and that actually came in handy because I actually remembered quite a bit of it. But it was hard, and we only had 2 weeks to create it and
it was fast.
Yeah, it was really fast. The dancers had to learn basically like two numbers a day, and it was intense. But they are extraordinary, and it's and they pull it off so beautifully. You know, it's not easy to go from doing the waltz and then suddenly be twerking, which is essentially what they're doing.
Yeah, when you get to here.
Yeah, it could be pretty. Yeah, it could be pretty scary, or like cringy. Like there were moments where I was like, this could be so cringy, but they pull it off. And also Brian's music, you're like, how is a band going to play Vogue, and how is that going to feel you're listening to Vogue on the 7 train, which is like what I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
And it's, he did such an incredible job, so I'm really proud of it, and you should come check it out. American Dance Spectacular on Saturday.
Where can they find tickets for that?
They can, they're going to have to Google American and Kingsborough Community College. It'll come right
so
up.
Get your pocket computer out and search away. So you met Brian, I assume, working on Wicked.
I actually didn't. We missed each other. I never crossed paths with Brian when I was at Wicked, and then I think he took over shortly after I left. So we hadn't met each other until we worked together on Born to Dance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about your time on Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I auditioned for it 8 times, as I'm sure most people have that story, right? But like 8 times where I like did the full day, all the way to the end, all the way to partnering, you know, just like over and over again. And I tell that story a lot because there were definitely times where I got the call and I was like, why am I going to go? You know, you're just like, why should I go?
Yeah.
I've done this so many times. Like, why should I go? Mm-hmm. And I really believe that if I hadn't kept going, I wouldn't have gotten the job. So, because I struggled for sure. I think was always choreographing and teaching a lot, even mm-hmm. when I was auditioning and trying to perform. And mm-hmm. it was always a struggle for me. Like I wasn't super committed to auditioning. I wasn't 100% okay. in,
yeah.
you know, cause it's like, you're supposed to go to everything and like, it's an art
sure.
form. And I was always sort of like missing auditions and sort of skipping them because I wanted to teach instead, or because, you know, and probably also cause I was afraid that I was going to get cut. you know, to be honest. So, but I was very persistent with Wicked. I always loved the way that choreography felt in my body, and it always felt like I was supposed to be in that room. And then finally it happened, and it was amazing. I did it on tour for a year with my best friend, which was like...
So fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, probably like if the two of you went on tour together.
We'd have a blast.
Trouble. Yeah.
It was trouble. It was one of the happiest times of my life. And then came back and did it here for 8 months.
Okay.
And then retired from performing. Basically, like, right after.
Thank you, Wicked. No more.
I was like...
yeah. I mean,
it's hard because Wicked's... Well, it was... Back then it was pretty fresh, but now it's kind of like a machine, don't you think?
Mm. I mean, I can't speak because I haven't seen it, and I haven't been there, right? I think my experience of it wasn't because it was new for me at that time. I think I don't want to make it sound like I did the show and then I was like, I don't want to perform anymore. It just sort of life sort of intersected, and I think,
sure.
and I think because I had made my Broadway debut, I felt a lot less pressure to continue.
Totally,
you know what I mean. Yeah. It's a sad thing the way that that has a grip on us, you know, where you're just like want to check that box so badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I started focusing on choreography shortly after that, and I didn't think that I wasn't going to audition anymore. It just sort of happened, and mm-hmm. I was so happy doing what I was doing that I never went to another ECC again.
Okay. My sister was asking what a no-fly show was, and I had a little giggle. When
so should we do a vocabulary?
Yeah, let's do vocabulary.
I love vocabulary. Okay, so we have a segment here where when our lovely listeners who don't know what the fuck we're talking about okay. hear something, they can ask us, and then we tell them in our segment called vocabulary.
Wait, what did they say? Please explain. It's vocabulous, baby.
So, a no-fly show in Wicked.
I'll tell it.
Tell
no,
me.
No, 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 no.
Did you ever experience a no-fly show?
No.
Were you ever that lucky?
No. Mm-mm. Never did. But I want you to do it. So I feel like you'll be more thorough.
Well, a no-fly show in Wicked, essentially, you know, goes up on a cherry picker
yep.
to fly above yep. The Citizen's Boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as all machines... fail, that machine fails sometimes, and she doesn't go up. So she can't.
Which is just like the most spectacular moment of that. It's like literally like you're like,
I say it a million times, if someone can please get me tickets to a no-fly show, that would be
just genius.
Yeah. Best. But you know, the show must go on. So there's a plan B, and the ensemble must run in and drop
cower.
To the ground and cower in terror of flying Elphaba while she's just standing probably 5'7".
Yeah, and we're lucky, let's be honest. Yeah, like we're lucky
above them.
But I said to Jesse, the fiercest part is she's like, I'm not flying. I have to like be really fierce when I say
yeah,
sing
you have
now.
To. It's you don't awesome. Sing the shit out of a no-fly show.
Now, my question is, do you think that people like in the audience that haven't seen the show
no.
are like, they know something's wrong, you know, they like think that like
or do you think they're so transported by like the drama and like the vocals?
the ensemble just like selling like or they're just like waiting for her to go, right?
Yeah.
Waiting for her to go
yeah.
out, waiting for her to go up and the lights go out and they're like, ah.
But I also think that maybe like, you know how audiences like live when things go wrong or like they have to like hold the show or they can
yes,
tell when something like goes
yeah, they
wrong.
That story.
When I saw
they have the best story.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
I was living for Groundhog Day because those turntables of death weren't working.
But you were there for that.
Yeah. You need to hold for
I
10
loved
minutes.
That show so yeah. much.
It was gorgeous.
Loved that show.
It was so cool.
So much.
Come on.
That tour, that car chase was really,
really
spectacular. Yeah.
yeah.
People found.
What are you gonna do? We can't do anything about it.
No, and we're all gonna die anyway. You know, the show wouldn't last forever.
It's actually true.
It'll live on in me until I'm dead.
And with that, it's the last episode of Equity One.
let's talk about death now.
Okay. Sure.
It's Halloween. It's
chicken tonight.
Yeah, it's spooky. It's Halloween. Are you guys gonna dress up for Halloween?
Uh-huh.
I wanna know.
I am not at liberty to discuss my Halloween costume yet.
But it's pretty brilliant.
It's brilliant.
Okay.
I'm really good at Halloween.
I'm gonna do a photo shoot for Halloween, I think.
Like, not actually go out.
Not actually go out, yeah. But it's gonna be Rococo Punk. I got my wig. It's like a nice like French updo. I'm gonna do some like powder.
Courtesy of Michael Ferguson. Thanks, Michael, for the hookup.
And we have like a lot of like jewelry. And just kinda like
I love that. So you'll just post instead of going
just
out.
Post, yeah.
I'm being just post and watch the reactions, yeah.
You like wait for the prime, like the peak time to post, and then you're like send the draft.
Yeah. Getting home. But it's interesting that this year it's like on a weekday, so it's
Tuesday, Tuesday.
I like that though, because when it's on like a Saturday, you're like, I'm never gonna get home. Saturday, yeah, you're never gonna get and you're just never gonna get home that night. Like,
yeah, it's a nightmare.
We were talking one time I was working at a bar on Halloween, and it was the same night that when the clocks fell back, and so I just never got home. It was like a
he never made
Twilight
it.
Zone.
Like, you still haven't gotten home?
I still haven't gotten home. I'm stuck in that
he's
bar.
He's trying to get
my
home.
My costume just, like,
aren't we all?
Yes.
Just trying to get home. No, I'm really excited. What are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm torn.
Okay.
Because my plan was to be Eddie Munster, because I've always felt a little bit like Eddie Munster. Because I'm, if you don't know, I'm very pale and I have widow's peak. So I was like, work, I'm going to be like Eddie Munster on his 30th birthday.
I love that.
And I was all into it, but I'm having second thoughts. And
okay,
what
prompted this?
Well, because it's hot. It's a blaze. It's like a very heavy corduroy blazer, and like
I'm hot right now.
And I don't know that I'm gonna feel like super like.
I mean,
good
in well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, is there like a sexier version, like where you can like feel yourself a little bit more and also be cooler?
I'd have to figure it, and I'd have to figure out how to do it without the blazer, which I think would be hard. But I've been Pee Wee Herman before a couple of times. And it's solid, and it feels right. Like, I just feel, and it's my birthday, so I'm thinking maybe I'll do that, but I'm thinking maybe I'll do, like, some sort of zombie Pee Wee
Herman. Oh, great.
I love that. A variation.
So a twist. Yeah, if I do that, and then, because then, plus, I can wear a short-sleeve white shirt underneath it, and then I can be dancing, and I don't have to be so hot.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just gotta figure out the right makeup. That's what I'm leaning towards.
I have a bruised packet if you want to borrow it.
You do.
I do.
So it'd be, like, Pee Wee Herman, like, after a bar fight.
Maybe. Because I was attacked at an ECC last year.
I'm sorry.
I had some like bruises, and that's always my costume.
Yeah,
oh, that's brilliant.
So
okay,
I had some like bruises and like blood from.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good.
I'm going to tell you my costume, but I'm just going to edit it out.
Okay, good.
I'm going to be.
That is. Genius.
I think you should have multiple ones where they keep going, but he says too much.
That is way too Caleb has a really complicated idea to like.
It would be the
for a costume that is like really easily executed.
Okay.
Just like.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Now, here's where I put pressure on you. Where are you going to wear these? Like, where are you going?
Well, I'm going to a friend's housewarming.
On Saturday?
On Halloween.
On Halloween. Okay.
Where's
and then I'm going to go out to a bar after.
Because we're thinking about even having a nightmare on 159th Street.
On actual Halloween?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I want to go out to a bar so people can see the costume.
Yeah, you need to be. But you need to be at a theater bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where?
You need to be, like, in Midtown. I hate to bring
I know, I need to be in Midtown.
You need to be in Midtown.
Or you could be at
it's more fun there anyway.
I think that it will be fun, yeah.
Yeah.
And you should go to industry. I mean,
yeah.
Get it?
Hello. This crazy industry.
God. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about Halloween. What else do we have to talk about?
The view upstairs.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to talk about
we
that.
Saw it, and we were at a nice, cute little dinner table.
They were one of the tables.
Did you come early in the process, or was it?
Well, yes, Jenny Ainsworth, one of the producers, was working on Charlie.
Oh, yes.
So we all got tickets to come see the show, and we had so much fun.
Yeah.
Tell us about, give us a...
The View Upstairs was an off-Broadway musical written by Max Vernon and directed by Scott Ebersold that played at the Lynn Reid Grave Theater in downtown Manhattan. I think we opened in, I'm so bad with time.
That was in like February.
Yeah, it was the winter. And I was the choreographer, and it tells a story based on a true story of a gay bar in New Orleans in the 1970s that was set on fire, where... a bunch of people died, unfortunately, very tragic. Probably the biggest it was the biggest attack on homosexuals until the Pulse.
Until Pulse, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a really, probably one of the most special experiences I've ever had working on something. I remember interviewing, I was working on the cruise ship, setting up that show when I interviewed for the job with Scott. And it was interesting because we had this conversation about like, how relevant really is this show now? Because we were all preparing for Hillary to be our president.
Right.
And so it was sort of like, yeah, we're, you know, we're very aware of it and we're trying to figure out like how, you know, because we do feel like we've come so far. And because the story tells this, it tells the story of someone from today who goes back to that bar and meets all of these people and is sort of has a new perspective on what it is to be a gay man, or even just a human, in today's world. And, we had this whole conversation because everyone was just so certain and so confident that Hillary was going to win. And then Trump was elected. And then I come back to New York and everyone's devastated and in a tizzy. And I was so lucky to be able to work on something that was so political and so gay. And so, I mean, just so, it was really cathartic to work on something that just felt really connected to what everyone was going through here in New York. And I loved it so much. I was really, really proud of it. And it was really hard, a hard piece for me personally because it's not necessarily a dance piece.
Right.
No, yeah.
You know, and there was very little space and it was an immersive experience and it was my first really, you know, musical in New York and, but the experience was golden. It was really amazing and I miss going there every day. You know, it was just a really safe space to be in.
The environment was just like welcoming. It was so cool.
It was really cool.
That's really interesting to me that the team was like, well, is this relevant? I mean, this is going to, because when we saw it, that means a lot of work, a lot of changes must have been done. I mean, it must have like brought a whole new aspect to the piece because it was very, very like ripped from the headlines.
Yes. Yeah,
especially
absolutely.
The main character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talking about Trump stuff, and talking about, you know,
yes,
I mean.
Yes, there were a lot of really brilliant adjustments made.
That's exciting too, is like when there's something that you're working on that they grow even more and that even something terrible can like bring a whole new life to something creative that you're doing.
Yeah. I think it's the dream to be able to work on a piece that it was literally changing every day. And to be able to work on a piece that is going to be seen by people that you feel like you can actually comment on what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's partially why people responded so beautifully to it. And then it also just was so rooted in the past and rooted in history, you know, that I think it was a really special sort of meeting of, unfortunately, you know, a show that we really needed. You know, it would be great to say, like, we don't need a show that talks about race or that talks about, you know, narcissism or that talks about hate crimes. You know, it would be great that we did not need those musicals. But we live in a world where we really do.
Unfortunately, it's
beautiful. And I do highly recommend checking out the recording. They did a cast album. And
oh, that's awesome.
It's gorgeous. It's really good.
That lives on.
Yeah. The view upstairs. Yeah.
I want to talk with you about, speaking of things that like say something that a lot of people see, I want to talk about what it's like working on So You Think You Can Dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so interesting how fast it seemingly goes to the audience. And, I want to hear what your experiences have been like working on So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, I grew up watching it, right?
Totally.
I definitely was very inspired by it and very, I think, influenced by it. So for me to do it that first time was a really kind of surreal experience. And it is incredibly fast. And you know, I think it's definitely not for everybody. I find it actually quite comfortable, weirdly. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good test for me in like trusting my instincts and making things work immediately. But it's not unlike theater in that way, right? No. Like, when are you ever in a rehearsal process where you just have like tons of time to figure something out? You know, so it was really just became an extension of what it's like to work on a musical, I think, in New York City. But also, I don't have anyone. I get to sort of pick a song and tell my own story, which is my favorite thing about
it. Yeah.
Also, you're like, you get to come up with like camera angles, don't you? And like, you say, I want this costume, and it shows up.
Yes, yes, and that's really fun. I mean, definitely, like, there's definitely a lot of. I get a lot of help and guidance and sort of like what ideas they think would work and what they don't. It's not like I can do anything I want. And then you don't know who you have until truly the day before, which is really how that works. And so you...
Interesting.
Okay. I've literally had to change a concept because...
Their talent,
yes, and who they are.
So because there was a season where you worked with like children.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I mean, for me, it was super comfortable because I grew up in a dance studio and mm-hmm. I taught kids. I still teach kids on convention and stuff. So, I mean, for me, it actually was very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to have JT, who was just so, you know, I mean, all the kids I had were amazing. But, you know, of course, that was special for me because he, you know, Doug Caldwell, who I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. who's a teacher of mine, had recently passed away. And he had always danced to Mr. Bojangles, like in the Tremaine faculty shows. I had already picked that song, and so we got it cleared, and then I found out that Doug had passed away, and then I, like, a week later was going to work, make the duet.
Wow.
And so it just felt really connected to something that felt really personal to me. And,
totally.
And for me, like, you know, even, like, The View Upstairs or any work for me that feels personal is always going to be your best work, I think, because you really mean it.
Yeah.
So that was a very special experience, but it's great. I mean, you know, and I've had a very warm experience. Like, everyone that I've met working on the show, including, you know, the producer Jeff Thacker, has been warm and encouraging and kind and lovely. So, you know, for me, it feels like going home a little bit now.
Yeah,
my fourth season, and you know, especially because the All Stars were there this season, so mm-hmm. they're people that I've worked with before, and
you're like, oh, friends. You're like,
yeah, it's kind of great. It's a great gig. And I feel lucky that I get to go there and do that and sort of leave the bubble that is New York theater and sort of be in a totally different bubble.
There's different dancers out there too.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that people here still get to see it, which is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have another question on it, and we might edit this out because it might not be interesting. Since it is like a reality competition program, mm-hmm. like, are there storylines pushed?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I would say yes. Sure.
I just always think, I think it's fascinating. I love, like, the aspects of, like, what it takes to, we're opening another.
We're having another beer. I mean, yeah, I think that they definitely time the release of information in a certain way, you know, that
it's beating around the bush a little bit.
Exactly.
They're still saying it, but just, like.
Yes. I don't think that they definitely don't create drama that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that happen. But I think they certainly, if they know something, a certain storyline is going to work really well, you know, with an emotional contemporary routine.
Yes, totally.
They say, you know, of course that's what they think. So it's just,
right.
You know.
So like if someone one week was like, we love your technique, but you're just not showing any personality, would they by chance be handed a theater piece next week?
Well, those actually really are randomly.
Real? Okay. Oh, wow.
I remember they used to show them point and
okay.
hat, and they would be like,
Foxtrot! Yeah, you're right. They don't do that anymore. But yeah, no, they
with
do.
With the Paso Doble. I remember that when they're always like,
oh, that actually is still random.
Yeah, but I think one of the things that they do is, like, I have three or four ideas
uh-huh.
maybe cleared, right? Or two or three ideas cleared.
And
then based on who I get, I can adjust what routine, right? So maybe there's a comedic routine, and maybe if they want to really show someone's part of, you know, maybe we go with a comedic routine because we want to really try to bring that out or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty real.
Okay. That's good to know. I'm just always fascinated by that.
How tall is Kat Dealey?
She's just always
in like a 5-inch stiletto, and I'm always just like, you're gorgeous.
My guess would be like a 5'8".
Really?
Yeah. I think, but I she's always in heels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say 5'8", 5'9".
Okay. That's what I want to know.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Kat Dealey, write us in.
I've never gotten to meet her.
Really?
No.
Never ever?
Never ever. I've never met her. Isn't that crazy? I've done the show for 4 seasons. Never ever. Because she comes in, you know, with her dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
She does her gig, and then we do the taping, and the taping just happens so fast, and it's so wild, and I've never been
and
like,
you guys are in, like,
I should
section.
Just be like, yeah, like, I just want to be
I
you.
Just want to say hi.
But, like, everyone in our room is like,
yes!
You know, yeah, I do. I love her.
She's a great host.
I think she's stunning.
She's really good.
She really is. She's been nominated for the Emmy several times.
She has?
Yes.
She has.
Very deservedly. I mean, she's a great host of that show.
She has not aged a day, I don't think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Is she a vampire?
Oh my god, someone should do Kat Dealey vampire. That's a good costume.
My blonde and styled.
I know, but my blonde was
next year.
Kat Dealey.
Next year, Liz Puccini, we're looking at you.
Oh yeah,
vampire
Kat
Dealey.
Should be really good. Kat Dealey zombie. Or Kat Dealey zombie. I mean, that's not, I'm just, my new thing. Just throw zombie at the end of anything.
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in like a sexy zombie.
Yeah. That's like
the
one I haven't gotten
enough sleep. Like,
yeah.
who is the famous zombie? Rob Zombie?
Oh, Rob Zombie?
Rob Zombie.
Well, it's time for one of our segments here at the show. Al, if you don't know, I collect show t-shirts, show merchandise. It's one of my passion projects in my life. And so I do a segment called Merch Madness, where I review two items against each other and choose a winner. So here it is.
Do you get to choose the winner?
I choose the winner, but we do have audience votes on what they think.
Okay.
So here is this week's Merch Madness. In the news this week, very exciting, the carousel marquee featured all the names of the people in the show, including the ensemble members in Swings.
So cool.
Really cool. So I decided, and you have done carousel.
Yes, with Josh Pagas at Barrington Stages.
Yes.
Oh my God. I was the dance captain. I don't want
to.
Carnival Boy as well. I was a Carnival Boy. Yeah, that's my dream role.
Work.
I grew up on that movie. Mm-hmm.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So I thought that this week I would do a Rodgers and Hammerstein edition of Merch Madness.
Okay.
So I have two pieces of merchandise here. I have a t-shirt here from the Lincoln Center production of The King and I, starring my favorite Kelly O'Hara.
Tony Award winning Kelly.
Tony Award winner, bitch, finally. Anywho, this is a really nice purple shirt. It's a dark purple. I really like the color of this.
I was going to say a plum.
Totally a plum with like a gray undertone there. With the classic, you know, painted sketch design of the show posters at Lincoln Center.
So Lincoln Center. Mm-hmm.
You're so very Lincoln Center. I love this shirt. I wear this shirt all the time. I love this shirt. First of all, I love Miss Kelly. But I love the contrast of the orange and yellow on the purple. Mm-hmm. It's just like a really good, this is like a very solid show shirt for me.
Wow.
It's a staple in my collection. Then I have another piece of merchandise from a Lincoln Center Theater production.
Oh my God. I love this.
Starring Kelly O'Hara. This is my South Pacific merchandise. Now, this merchandise I got at the Broadway Flea Market 2 years ago, I want to say. This is a child's small sweatshirt. That fits me.
Work.
Yes. I just didn't hold 30, so.
Oh, yes, so you're really.
This is a really interesting piece of show merchandise. I've never seen anything like it.
No.
On the front, it just has the Lincoln Center, like, because you know the South Pacific logo had all of the characters painted kind of like mishmash all together. So this is just Kelly in her little sailor suit, embroidered on the sweatshirt, which is very rare. You don't really see that on show merchandise. It's usually screen printed. So there she is, just embroidered in the center of this black sweatshirt.
I think that's kind of over. I would wear that.
I kind of make it into like a crop top, cut off the sleeves kind of sweater.
And this has this would be a crop top on you.
I know. I'm tempted to buy it from you.
Nope.
I wouldn't like it.
It's mine. Mm-hmm. And on the back, of course, behind the neck, as most...
as well as this one did.
Do has South Pacific Lincoln Center Theater on the back. I gotta tell you, this week was tough for me. I love these shirts. I love both of them. On one hand, you have the King and I shirt. I wear it all the time. On the other hand, you have
this sweatshirt that is just so special.
You found it. That's the other thing.
I found it. It fits me.
It was a find.
It's different. Now, on my personal Instagram, mm-hmm. the people spoke, and 61% believe that my South Pacific sweatshirt will win Merch Madness this week, and 39% voted for The King and I. On the Equity One Instagram account, the people spoke, and what did they say? They said 60% for The King and I, and 40% for South Pacific.
Wow.
So you average those together. I didn't go to school for math, but that's 50-50.
Yeah, that's a tie.
Well, who is the tiebreaker? I want to change my vote, actually, now that I'm seeing them in person.
Kayla, let me build some drama. I'm so torn. The people are torn.
I think who won the popular vote and who won the votes?
What will I choose?
Is this what it really comes down to in government?
I couldn't pick them based on their leading lady. It'd be a tie.
It would be a tie.
Killing me. You couldn't pick it on the theater either, cuz.
You know what? It's Lincoln Center. You know what they say. You know what I say. I said it before. I'll say it again.
Say it.
In another week, in another heat, it might have worked out differently for one of these pieces of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, the winner of this week's Merch Madness is my South Pacific sweatshirt.
I'm so glad.
I know. Seen it in person?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's just so good. It's just so too good.
Can I see this?
You can see it, but you can't have it, bitch.
I'm just like folding.
Nope.
It's mine. So I know the people, it's going to be a controversial decision, but South Pacific.
Zombie Kelly O'Hara.
Oh, so good.
I was Kelly O'Hara for Halloween 1 year, but
zombie,
not zombie Kelly O'Hara.
But would you rather be Nellie Forbush or
Nellie Forbush?
What is her name?
Anna Leon Owens.
Ah, yeah.
Eliza, what's
Anna Leon Owens?
That's her name. King
Anna.
Oh my gosh.
That's her name.
She's a real person. Yeah,
I didn't ever knew that it was Leo.
What's her son's name? Edward.
Yes.
Okay, I knew that. Don't you know you have more things?
I think that would be a fun zombie.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wait. Edward was the person that played it at Wichita when we did it. What is the kid's actual name?
I think it's Edward.
Wichita.
Yeah.
And Wichita. Oh, yes.
Talk about that. It's too late.
We should. Talk about Wichita. It's not too late.
The Doodah Diner.
Oh my god, the Doodah Diner.
What do you get to eat?
Oh my god. I only go on the Sunday when they do the buffet so I can have everything.
Oh.
And then they're so nice there that at the counter, they'll give you things that aren't out. They'll be like, oh, I'll make that for you.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I would always order the Brutus.
What is that?
It was just like a meat pile of everything.
Yeah.
And if you
they've gotten a new dining room since we've been there.
Oh.
That's really nice. Yeah.
And if you go there, if you go anywhere in Wichita with Wayne Bryan,
they treat
hooked
you
up.
Yeah. Hooked.
Like to the point of where you're like, no, like thank you. Like
yeah.
I went to lunch with him once. He had to like put a cake back in someone's hands. Like they were like trying to give him an entire cake.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great man. Such a great place. Yeah,
did you make it out to one of my favorite clubs in Wichita, Fantasy?
Of course
I did. You swim in the pool?
No, I didn't swim. I did not swim in the pool. But you know, the last time I was there, I was doing hairspray, and we had this. There was a thing in Wichita called the Brew.
Downtown, right?
Brew tour. It was like a brew tour.
Brew tour?
Basically, they gave you a card, and you went to either coffee places or breweries.
Oh.
And if you got a coffee or a beer, you would get a stamp. And if you got 8 stamps, you would get a free t-shirt. And
easy.
And my friend, my associate, Katie Drablos, and I spent every waking moment.
Only there for 7 days.
Yeah, and we were choreographing Hairspray. So just like do the math of like how difficult it was to choreograph Hairspray in 7 days.
But you need a lot of coffee to do that.
We would go in the morning for coffee and then afterwards. And by the end, you know, Katie was like, we're doing it. We're going to have to go. And we got those t-shirts. And
yes.
And there's a photo of us picking them up and the look of pure joy on our faces. But it was cool. We like met so many cool people. And
yeah,
Wichita's a really great town. Really
have you had gelato at Cafe Modern?
No.
Cafe Modern doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't? You're joking.
Oh, that's sad.
They have one of the best sandwiches ever. The Isabella.
They had great
Gruyere, turkey, apples, mayonnaise.
Did you have the cinnamon roll from the Lighthouse? Is that what it's called? The Lighthouse?
Yes.
No.
Famous breakfast place. Next time you go back, you gotta
go. I've been to like I know exactly. I can see the sign. I know exactly where it is. There's a cinnamon roll.
I think it's a cinnamon roll that's famous.
Very famous cinnamon roll, I believe.
Also, the donut hole.
The donut hole, I know. Yes. Well,
but also, Quick Trip. Like, let's not like get too fancy. Like,
give me a hot dog on a roller.
Hot dog. The number of times I like went home from music rehearsal on Thursday, took a nap, and then was running late, so I just ran to Quick Trip and got the 2-for-1 hot dogs with a, oh my god, with like a large root beer.
Yeah, but you're working so hard and so much, it doesn't matter.
You're also like 18 and you don't know any difference, too, so.
Did you ever have a romance there?
No. No.
Me neither.
Probably for the best.
You didn't have a romance with Thomas.
Very young there.
No, although he did tell me I had nice legs, which is a really big compliment.
Thomas W. Douglas.
Oh, yes, because he wears kilts.
Yeah, he's so fierce.
Yeah. Well, let's have a game. Caleb is our game master. We're going to play a game.
Okay.
I haven't played one in a while.
I know, we haven't played. So this one we played before, so we know the rules. You don't know the rules.
No.
So, imagine...
You don't listen to the program?
No. So imagine that these are all revivals, and you are trying to pay homage to them and a little nod of a hat while still making your own flair. So you have to describe the choreography that you would do to. But stick
in
to
a way
the
that makes me guess.
And Elliot is gonna guess what show you are trying to sell.
Oh, okay. So maybe like an icon, like.
Okay.
It has to be words too, so our listeners can imagine it.
It's an audio medium.
Also,
so
you have
to give me the name of the show. I'm going to talk about how I would choreograph it with my own flair, and then you have to guess what the show is.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. Here's the gag. 10 seconds.
Okay. He has 10 seconds. I have to. We have both to get the show.
Yeah.
This is stressful.
You ready?
Yeah.
Set. Don't say the name. Go.
Okay. This would take place in a pool in Washington Heights. And there would be dancers dressed as fish.
Little Mermaid?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, but in the Heights. Okay.
I mean, he just said immersive. Heights.
Yeah, I know.
I love that.
No, I meant, but like, that'd be a cool, like, immersive. Yeah, ready? Set, go.
Okay, this would be, we would do this at this space at Sleep No More, and people would, and they would, different identities, but, you know, everything would be bought from H&M.
At the McKittrick?
No. Catch me.
Why would you put it there?
I just literally have 10 fucking seconds. If it was
he hasn't had time for free pro yet.
Oh my god.
That would be 20 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
You're
15. Go.
Okay, instead of tambourines, we would use clarinets.
9.
Yeah, and there would be children, but they would be all inner city kids.
Annie.
Music Man.
Oh.
You were still there. You had a second.
That's okay.
Don't give up.
Okay, I won't give up. Sorry.
Yeah, don't give up.
Keep giving it.
Don't give up.
Okay.
Go.
Okay, this would be, this would take place at a synagogue in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I would use house dance moves instead of traditional Jewish dance.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
Hi. Producers.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Okay. No, I said that's hot. I said come on.
Ready, set, yeah.
Okay, this would take place at a karaoke bar and definitely full 80s. And it would be like more inspired by jazzercise probably than what it was. 80s show.
Wedding Singer?
Yes.
Oh.
Favorite. That opening number. One of my favorites.
That was under 15. And I think it was under 10.
Because we're set. Great.
Go. We're sinking.
Oh my god. Okay, this is a good show, and it originally starred a very charismatic man. So I would cast Raul Esparza in this role, but he'd have to be super gay. And he's playing an Australian.
Boy from Oz.
Yes.
Oh, right at 15.
Yeah, this is hard.
This is the last one.
Last one.
Make it good. Make it solid.
Okay.
Really. Do you want to like kind of think about it and really get the concept?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you. Got a concept? This is like your elevator speech.
Fast and loose, elevator pitch.
I'm ready.
Ready, set, go.
Okay, this show is about a bunch of different cultures in the beginning of New York, the turn of the century.
Ragtime.
Yeah, and I would do it in the subways. You would have to, it would all take
hot!
The subways,
I love that.
I love these concepts.
It was always like a location specific.
I love that. Wait, I am actually obsessed with the fiddler. A fiddler revival in like a club
in a Jew. This is actually a really interesting story, and it ties
with house
together
music.
And it brings together Soul Therapy, which is happening this Sunday, which I hope you all come to. Which is that
Sunday, October 29th
at Black Flamingo. You can follow me on Instagram at Blackstone Choreo for all the information. But
plug it.
Basically, at Soul Therapy, there are Hasidic Jews that live in that neighborhood, and they come. And they come and they don't dance, they don't drink, but there's always a Hasidic man or two downstairs just watching everyone dance. And it sounds like it would maybe be
That's
a little
amazing.
Creepy, but they're literally there just sort of, they like the music. And I assume that they go to other parties at Black Flamingo. I don't think they come just for Soul Therapy, but they're there. And it's this incredible meeting of worlds because they're just like into the house music and there's all these dancers like, wah! And it's actually really kind of incredible. So that's what made me think of
How amazing would a fiddler on the roof? Because it's all about like culture changing and like you wanting to either go with it or some things where you draw the line with like where you go along with moving forward.
So would you make the traditional
How amazing would it be
like,
to like
traditional?
Do a gay... Like a gay fiddler on the roof. And like maybe Tevye's like a little old school and is not like thrilled with like his daughter marrying a trans guy or something. A trans male or something.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Producers.
It's hard because you have to take it out of that time period, which that time period is sort of like.
But it's so timeless though, the thing.
I agree with you.
The culture shifting and Tevye going, do I change
That's
or do I
there.
Not?
Yeah.
And then he makes the decision to usually change until it's too much for him.
I'd like to say something about the recent revival about A Fiddler on the
Sure.
Roof, if I may, which is that I when I was like auditioning hardcore, right, it was a period of time where all the boys that were getting hired were just like muscle boys, right? Everyone was just gorgeous and chiseled, and like you had to have
the body.
You just had to have the Broadway body in order to get a job. And that's fine. That was what was going on right at that time, and it was working and whatever.
Right.
No judgment, but obviously it didn't come in handy for me. But I saw Fiddler on the Roof, and Fiddler on the Roof, those men were, first of all, dressed in those traditional Jewish garb, right? And none of them were necessarily like big muscle dudes. They were all very slender, sort of very real looking people. And I have to say that I think that show, which I don't think Fiddler on the Roof is ever considered a sexy show, that recent revival was the sexiest show I have ever seen on Broadway.
I saw a closing.
In my opinion.
On
like the most recent with Danny Burstein.
The 31st.
Those dancers were so sexy and so good and so grounded.
Because it was so natural and like
that movement was sexy.
Yeah.
It was so sexy.
And you know what I'll say too is like there's something about the culture that's like uninhibited but also like very traditional.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in their practicing, it's like you're like uninhibited if you're really like practicing something traditional, and that's kind of like
the freedom.
That's like the oxymoron. It's really like very sexy.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On that note, hit Al up on any dating app. I'm kidding.
No, I just put them all. I just put them all, but I am really single and I will be at Soul Therapy, so if you're interested,
ready
come.
To
come on out.
Well, where can they find you at, other besides at Soul Therapy? Like, what social media?
Yeah, so if you follow me on Instagram, Al Blackstone Choreo, Choreo, or Twitter at @Al_Blackstone.
And where can they take your class at?
You can take my class Wednesdays at Broadway Dance Center at 9 p.m., or Tuesdays and Thursdays at Steps at 4:30.
Which, guess what? You could listen to this podcast Wednesday, which is tomorrow for us, and go tomorrow night.
Yes, that's true.
So go to Al's class.
And then you can be like, hey, Al, I feel like I've been listening to you.
I listened to you on Equity Wine.
I know all about you, and I know you're going to be for Halloween.
You can find us, our show, at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
And at Twitter at @Equity_1.
Yes, and remember, after this episode, go and check out, reserve your spot for our live show on November 2nd at 7 p.m. at the new Jen Waldman Studios. Jen Waldman will be our guest.
It's going to be real big.
You can watch us do this show live. So go reserve your spot now on our Eventbrite, which all the links will be on our social media. Al is gagging right
I'm
now.
I'm gagging. That's
pretty good.
So go find the information for that on all of our social media. Caleb, where can the people find you?
They can find me at Caleb Dickey. That's D-I-C-K-E. And that's on everything. Like, hit me up.
Yeah.
DM.
DM.
I don't get enough DMs.
Oh, you
don't? Yeah, please slide into Al's DM.
Please DM me.
And you can find me at Elliot Mattox on everything. That's ELLIOTTMATTOX. And with that, fellas,
until
next time, cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.